Got your Bible, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Book of Ephesians, chapter 6. How many of you men wrestled in high school or college? Any of you guys? Bill, you did? Any of you women? You wrestled? Well, we live in this kind of culture, you never know. I'll ask this. No, I won't ask it. I did not wrestle. I was not a fighter type. But later in life, I began to, somewhere along the line, enjoy watching boxing. My wife thinks I flipped out and went into some kind of digression. But enjoyed watching boxing. And then I enjoy watching high school or college wrestling. Not that other stuff where they only know one thing, knock a guy down, throw chairs at him, all that kind of garbage. But the real wrestling. And it's just interesting to watch. I never figure out how a guy can be on the bottom and he's still trying to pin the other guy. There's a lot of stuff involved with that. And in recent years, there's been a new thing come out. It's called Ultimate Fighting. And I know that many of you women are probably really fans of that. You just can't wait till the next one comes on. And, Doc, you got to kind of hold her down just a little bit. You don't watch it? And that was enough. Oh my, you're a case, I tell you. Anyway, I want to look tonight here in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. And I'm going to look at one verse tonight. And actually, just a part of that verse. I find this tremendously interesting as we look here. In verse number 10, we'll go back and look at that. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And we need courage, don't we? We need to stand strong because we've got an enemy. He says in verse number 10, or 11, excuse me, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We looked at that last week, and my goodness, he is one tricky character. But notice here in verse number 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, or of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We have a wrestling match that we are involved in. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you tonight for your word. I pray that you might open our hearts and our minds. Help us understand some very, very important truth from your word tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a little word that starts out in this verse number 12, four. It's not a big one, but it links us to the previous verse. And I think particularly to the little statement there against the wiles of the devil, "for we wrestle not against." Now, it might take us back up to verse number 10, where it talks about putting on the whole, standing strong in the Lord. But in my mind, I'm thinking it links us back to that verse, which says, hey, we need to be strong. We need to have courage in light of the fact that we have a tremendous enemy that is out there. And so you and I tonight, we need to look at this because there is something here about this word wrestle that we ought to stop and consider. The nature of the warfare we're in is set by this word wrestle. And I want us to think about it. You and I, we're probably more in tune with, for the most part, team sports. We probably think more in the light of, like in football, there's one team, there's 11 guys on one side and 11 on the other, at least out in the field. And you got baseball, you got 9 guys out in the field, and you got 9 guys that are batting, and of course you got all the other roster and so forth. And then you got folks who they look at all the different games and they say, well, this is a better game than the other. I know one fellow, he said, boy, baseball is the best game because it's not proven by who's ahead when time runs out, but by the skill of each man and the players involved. He's got a good point there. And others love the rough and tumble football. And of course, in our nation, soccer is kind of taking on a new atmosphere, and there's folks who get excited about that. Personally, I'm never too excited about a lot of running. Other people can do it, and that's great. And some people just love to run. I was driving down 25th Street. A bunch of kids were coming down the street there, and I assume long-distance running. And here they are just out, just running like a deer, you know. And to me, why are you taking all those steps you don't need to? See, in my mind, you have so many steps in life, and when you run out, then you're gone. So why use them all up? Anyway, and I'm just teasing on that. But there's all these different things, and we normally think in those kinds of terms. But there's certain athletic events, like wrestling, or boxing, or running, where it's you against somebody else. It's you against them. And so I want to stop and think about that, because the conflict we are in is a single conflict. Notice, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And when we go back and we recognize here that really Satan is the mastermind of all of it. Verse number 11, what do we have? We've got to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so here we are. We're in a tremendous, tremendous fight. It's far more fierce to fight in this kind of situation than it is as an army would do. For if you are in battle in the army or whatever field you want to be, there's times of rest where others are doing certain things. There's time of respite and so forth. But here, when you're in a wrestling match, it's full out all the way. You got to forgive me. It's been a few nights ago. They had some kind of one of these ultimate fighting things. And so I was watching a little bit of this. And I was watching these guys, and even when they're down on the mat and it looks like they're not doing anything, they got their hands together, they're trying to get this, and their muscles are tight the whole time. So for 5 minutes, it's nonstop aggression and trying to stave off the other individual. When I was in high school, we had a PE class, and one time we went down to the wrestling mat. Me being the size I am, the only other guy that was in my PE class just happened to be the heavyweight wrestler for the school. And here's little skinny me. You know, at that time I probably weighed about 180 pounds, and that's very skinny for my height. And here's this guy at about 483,000 pounds. You know, he's a big guy. And my only objective in that entire thing was not to try to take him down. There was no way it was going to happen. I just didn't want to get pinned. And being a wiry little guy, I could just squirm everywhere I could, and he never pinned me, so I felt like I won the match. But I'll tell you this, it was all out for the time period we had there. And you're in it all the way. So it's a matter, we look at this particular fight, and he says, we wrestle not against. Well, we are wrestling. And this wrestling match is with none other than Satan himself, his cohorts, and it is all out. It's like David as he stands against one man, Goliath. And the opponent's entire force is out to destroy that one single target. I want us to understand something tonight. We are in a real battle. And sometimes we think, well, our fellow Christians are going to fight it. No, you have a battle. You have a battle. I have a battle. And all of us have this. How we need to wrestle also with God, in the sense that we understand there are the, as with Jacob, 400 of Esau's men galloping toward us. So that's a different type of wrestling match, that we might gain his strength to be able to wrestle against the wiles of the devil. But we need to see that we are in a terrible conflict and understand that it's not a simple little process. Notice something else too. In verse number 10, he says, finally, my brethren. In verse number 11, says that ye may be able. But in verse number 12, he says, for we wrestle. And so here we find God is using the Apostle Paul, and he's trying to help us understand something here as he changes in the person of the pronouns that are being used. And so he changes from ye to we. What's that saying? In other words, I have a conflict that is before me, and it is a tremendous conflict, but not only do I have, but you have it. It's universal to all of God's people. Every one of us are in the same fight. And something we need to understand here, Satan is not afraid of us. Listen, he took on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not afraid of us. He left him, by the way, for a season after those three temptations, you remember? After he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. But oh my goodness, we do find he came back. And he is willing to take us on. And though the weak, as we discussed last week, are quick targets, none are lost from his sights to fling his arrows at. The devil is no respecter of persons. And so you and I, we have a conflict tonight. It is a tremendous conflict. We wrestle. And if we don't understand this, we're going to be pinned. It will overtake us. It is a big problem. And brethren, I believe the fight's getting more intense. And it's going to be more prominent in our lives. But something else we need to understand, and we'll take a lot of time with this, and that is, this conflict is not going away. Some people say, boy, if I just had some relief, I'm just always. Understand something here. This word, wrestle, is in the present tense. It doesn't say for we will wrestle. It doesn't say for we have wrestled. It says for we wrestle. And it's in that tense, I believe, for a particular reason, and that is because it is constantly there with us. You drop down to verse number 20. Notice what Paul says there. For which I am an ambassador where? In bonds. How often was Paul locked up? How often was Paul put in handcuffs? How often was Paul in the stocks? And a great deal of Paul's ministry was behind bars. And yet God used him in those places, and he's teaching us and helping us understand this thing is not going to go away. Hananiah the prophet said to Asa, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. A prophetic statement for all of us. Jeremiah said in chapter 15, woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife, and a man of contention to the whole earth. And it's that way. You and I have a battle. It is not going away anytime soon. And somehow we think if we just close our eyes to it, somehow we think if we just don't think about it, it won't be there. No, it gets bigger when the eyes are shut. And it will be there, and it will continue to be there. And no matter how many victories we have, it will still be there. Let's go back to the nation of Israel. Nation of Israel, what? They came out of Egypt. And it's a picture of you and I. They put the blood on the doorposts. And a picture of the application of the blood. A picture of salvation. And so you and I, we are saved by grace. The death angel passed over. They took off. They spoiled the Egyptians. And they take off. And which way do they go? Well, they could have went up and gone through some very severe battles, but God led them a different way, and they come into the wilderness, and now they are boxed in. They have the Red Sea on one side, they have the mountains on another side, and the Egyptian who decided they wanted them back were behind them. The most powerful army in the world at that time. And so here we find they're in an awful situation. What does God do? God gives them deliverance, doesn't He? But they're in a huge battle. They're scared to death. But God takes them through the Red Sea. And you say, boy, that was a great deliverance. Boy, it was. But what happens when they get on the other side? They don't have food. They don't have water. There's over 2 million of these folks. And they're in basically a desert. Have you seen pictures from that area? And so here they are. And they, in one occasion, they come upon some water, and the water's bitter. They can't even drink it. So God says, throw a tree in there. That's very picturesque too, because Jesus died upon the tree, didn't he? And he makes the waters of his word very sweet that you and I can partake of it. But we find they had battle after battle. And so often we hear some of the songs how, boy, we go into the promised land. Listen, do you know the promised land was not a place where they were going to lay down? Matter of fact, it was a place where the battles began to get even more so. And they had all these people to drive out and all these battles that they must participate in. And that's the way our lives are. And somehow we think, well, we get to a certain stage, we can just be relieved of all the battles and all the strife and all the problems there. No, they don't go away. Not if we're in God's battle. Not if we're doing God's work. It's just going to continue to be there. So there's conflicts. The devil's wanting to stop us. He doesn't want us to go forward. And constantly there is the strife that is there. I believe the only time this is going to cease is after the final battle at the end of the millennium. And the devil is cast in a lake of fire forever and ever. But we're going to see these things. Listen, you realize that even after we go up in the rapture and we sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb and we get to enjoy the presence of God, it seems as though you and I are going to come back with the Lord Jesus Christ to the battle of Armageddon. We're in another battle. Now I realize He's doing the fighting, but we're coming. And throughout the millennial period, we get to rule and reign. But listen, do you understand when you're ruling and reigning, that means there's problems you've got to deal with? Unless you're the President of the United States, you just go campaigning. Anyway, we got problems all over. I didn't say that. Strike it from the record. And I think this devil just seeks even more and more with us. This in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. He said, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." He's constantly trying to stop us. It's there all the time. Now, when that's not present with the devil, guess what else is hanging on to us all the time? We got the flesh, don't we? And you know what? The more, the closer you get to God, the more you recognize the strength of the flesh and the power that it has in your life. And the battle is there. The world system, as it seeks to pull us in and seeks to, you know, get us off course. It's just always there. We have these battles to fight over and over and over again. Let's stop and think about some things we might call reproofs. Some things we ought to do in thinking about these battles. In our wrestlings, we need to wrestle with God for His supremacy, not against Him for our supremacy. Far too often in our lives, we're wrestling against God. We're sitting around wondering, well, why did God let this happen to me? You know what I'm saying? Why did God let Aunt Susie die? Why did God let my doggie die? I mean, you know, why did God do those things? God didn't do those things. But we get into these kinds of things, and so we get mad at God and we get upset with Him. And the real battle is not with God. It's with the devil. It's with the flesh you carry around. It's with this world system that we have. And we need to learn to, in this context, wrestle with God. And I say that in the context of Jacob, because Jacob's wrestling with God all night was really what we'd probably call a prayer meeting. Where we're hanging on to God, wanting Him to bless us, seeking for His strength. And only after that was Jacob able to walk across the creek that was there with the rest of his family and all of his goods and be able to see his brother coming and face Him and then see God work it all out. And that's what we really need to, in our wrestling, that we might have Him as our champion with us. We're not to wrestle against His messengers of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is seeking to be the one called alongside to help. And so the Spirit of God is He who you and I need to listen to. How do we listen to the Spirit? Well, there's a number of ways, but one of those ways is through the Word of God. And the Word of God gives us directions on which way to go, gives us principles whereby we make our decisions. But also we find that God used messengers, those who delivered the Word of God. And God uses those to, what, deliver the message to us that we might go in the right direction. But oftentimes we won't listen to the Spirit of God through those messengers. We go back to what some people call the antediluvians, and these were the folks during the pre-flood era, from Adam up to Noah. They had a prophet amongst them. His name was Noah. Noah, the righteous man, preached to him for 120 years. But they would not listen to him. And that messenger was denied. They laughed at him. They ridiculed him. They mocked him. Nor are we to ignore that Spirit-enlivened conscience. Now, the conscience is an interesting study if you look on the Word of God. The conscience can be seared. Isn't that true? And so, we look today and so many folks say they don't think this is wrong or that's wrong or the other because it's been seared. But when the Spirit of God comes to dwell within, He enlivens. And He comes in and He's showing us what's right and what's wrong. And there's, I don't know how to describe it other than that still small voice. And we just know. There's been times so often, especially in the early walk, that I just knew that was the wrong way, this was the right way. And sometime later I actually see the principle in the Word of God. And that would cement it in my heart and my mind. But we need to listen to that voice of the Holy Spirit of God. And far too often in our wrestlings, we don't allow Him to bring that into our hearts and our minds. Because, brethren, we need one called alongside to help. We're in a battle all by ourselves, and we can't defeat Satan of our own. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. What did He do? He employed the Word of God, that Spirit-delivered Word of God, that Satan might be defeated. And we cannot ignore that within us. Don't tread upon His leadership of providence. God takes us so many different places. And often, I mentioned this a while ago, men get mad at God for things that providentially happen. I came back to this area to start the church, and I went to work for Vickers Hydraulics. Some of you might remember them. And at this time, they were out on 72nd Street, and I had worked for them before. I was gone for the 6 years I was gone, and so I went back and got hired back in, and I worked for them for 6 weeks. They came up to me and said, this will be your last night. And I looked at my foreman and I said, thank you. I had 4 kids at home. I had rent that I had to pay, food to put on the table, and I had no income. And I said, thank you. The reason I said thank you is because I had seen this company go so far downhill in their methods and so forth, I really didn't want to work for them anymore. And so for the next week, I began to look for another job. And I spent 4 days out looking for a job. I'd already been looking previous to that. I was working an afternoon shift, and so during the day I was going to different places. This is before you did everything on the internet. This is when you actually went to the place and talked to the people. You know, the good old days. They couldn't, you know, they have to look at you in the face and say, no, I don't want you. And so I was doing it. I'd already been three times to this one trucking company. And I had worked for trucking companies, once before I ever left. And I worked as a casual, if any of you fellows know what that is. And I knew the pay was pretty good. And so I was just looking to get even a day or two job here or there. And I went back for the fourth time to this trucking company, and they hired me. I had no driving experience. Mike, you're supposed to have driving experience when you work for trucking companies, aren't you? Yeah, they really like it. Huh? Chad's back there shaking his head. They don't? They did then. They wanted 2 years. And I didn't have it. I kept going back. They want to train them themselves, don't they? Yeah. I didn't have any bad habits, that was for sure. And so they hired me. Wow. I could have been very upset and been mad because they fired me. And they, why did this happen to me? I'm back here to start a church. And my normal way of thinking, that's probably what would happen. If I hadn't been so upset with that job and how terrible they were operating, I probably would have been. But God gave me a job. And by the way, I'd seen that a couple times previous, how God had provided in those areas. And it just, you know, God allows things in our lives. And He has purpose for it. Matt was on his way home from, I don't remember if it was college or after they were married, but they were driving along, and all of a sudden he discovered they were about 20 minutes out of their way. He'd taken the wrong turn. And so they drove back another 20 minutes, get back to the right spot, so another 40 minutes behind. Those things, I would be under my breath. And they go down the road a little ways, and there's a huge accident. And looking at the accident and hearing some things on the radio or somewhere, they found that accident happened just about the time they would have been going through there. You know, we get upset at some things when God's actually protecting us and taking us through. And so don't dread His leadership because things look black and things look awful at the moment. By the way, how do miracles happen? When everything's going good? No. When do victories come? What are the sweetest victories? When you come from behind. When your opponent is very strong and looks like he's whipping you at times. And so don't dread His leadership by providence. And then we must follow His rules of the game. Let me just put it very simply this way, just use an illustration. Is abortion wrong? Well, I believe so. But is it right for us as Christians, because we hate the idea of abortion, is it right for us to kill abortionists? We may want to sometimes, but that's not the right thing to do, is it? That's going against the principles of God. It's going against the rules of the game. God doesn't want us in that spot. So we must what? Follow the rules of the game. When we're wrestling, you've never wrestled, have you? I haven't either, but just the one time. One of the things you don't want your opponent to have the ability to do is get a hold of some handles. You know, if you got some handles here to grab hold, that's not good. You know, you want your clothing as tight as possible. You want to keep that opponent from being able to use any of those things against you. And I think about the scripture where it says, put off the old man, put on the new man. And sometimes we're wearing that old man. the devil has an opportunity to grab hold of us very easily. And you and I, we need to put on those new clothes of the new man, that we can allow the Lord to do that. And there's another thing that the Romans did in their games, and the Greeks started it, and that is when they got together to wrestle, they would grease their bodies. By the way, oil in the Word of God is generally a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And when you and I are enveloped in the Spirit of God, we have a greater chance for victory, don't we? Matter of fact, we're assured of victory. And so we don't want to give the foe a handhold. But most of all, we need to enjoy the help of God. We need His help. We need Him showing us what step to take. We need Him to be able, if need be, to step in and throw the knockout punch. So we need what? We need this thing of prayer where we're seeking after God, desiring His closeness, again, wrestling with God. We have a wrestling match with the devil. We also have this with the Lord, not against the Lord, but with Him. Not as a foe, but as wanting Him to stay close to our side. That as we face the real foe, that of the devil, we know the nearness of our Savior. Because with Him ever present, we're in good shape. How many know that it's kind of dangerous to go outside at night anymore? Our neighborhood down here is pretty decent, but there's times when I've seen people pulling our driveway out here, and I wondered, who are they? I watch it closely. And I'm sure you have the same kinds of things wherever you're at. And we wonder about this and that. When I go at night, I go out at night generally about 10 o'clock every night. I'm not really too worried about who's going to show up, because I have this black beast with me that has big teeth. And I generally bring another partner or two too. But anyway, I don't worry about it. Why? Because I have that protection there. We're in a battle. It's a very real battle. All of us face it. We have a wrestling match that is there. We're going to look at the foe very carefully in the next part of this verse. Maybe a couple of weeks from now. But my goodness, we have a tremendous foe, and we need to get it straight in our hearts and minds. We have a battle. I don't care who we are, how old we are, how young we are, we have a battle. And it's not going to get any better. Has it got easier, Rosie? Doesn't get easier. Time and age don't make it easier. Some folks say, well, when you get to be older, you don't have those difficulties. No, they just compounded. Us older ones, one of the things we find is we can still do a lot of things we used to. It just takes us 10 times longer. So. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks we're going to deal with that. Very, very good. Some thoughts there. I believe that we can show that the devil has control of most of our governments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting. There's one angel that's a guardian angel that is not of the devil's forces, and he's over Israel. But you don't find that for any other nation. It's just interesting. But, he's on the march. He's on the march. And though we love our nation, there's a lot of subversive things that have been taking place in our country for years. And it's amazing. And some people who really control a lot of stuff behind the scenes. Do you ever wonder how a promoter became president? Never had a real job in his life? There's just some things there. Or a peanut farmer. It's just amazing. Anyway, there's a lot of things there. Just interesting. But yeah, you're on. Yeah, that's our thunder for 2 weeks. If we last that long. The Lord may come back before then. Let's have prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your wondrous goodness in providing us the strength to do this battle. Lord, help us to see that it's very real. So often we just kind of ignore it and we're defeated before we ever start. And God, that we just wake up to all that's going on, the things that are trying to stop us and suppress us. And Lord, that it's very real to each of us. And sometimes we just want to pass it off and leave somebody else to fight it for us, but it's not what a wrestling match is. Though we're an army, we still must meet each one of us hand to hand in combat. And so God, just help us to realize that and seek the strength of God that we might go forward, because we know in you that we can be the victors. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.